It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. The title of his message is From Fear to Faith. The text is from Job chapter 3, verses 25 and 26.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Job chapter 1. We're going to see if we can find the key this morning that unlocks the secret to the truth of this great and powerful book in the Old Testament. Job lived before the law. This is probably one of the oldest books in the Bible, if not the oldest book in the Bible. Theologians place it somewhere between Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12. It's a very powerful book. Alfred Lloyd Tennyson called it the greatest poem of ancient and modern times. The first of the poetical books, it has the privilege of being called also one of the wisdom books. There's much great teaching in this book. Martin Luther described it as magnificent as no other book in the Bible. Someone asked him, why? Why do you see so much in the book of Job that is helpful to you? He said, because the book has given us a look into the mind and heart of a spiritual man. His most private thoughts and fears are here written out for our instruction and admonition. We see this great man as he ponders over his life and the problems of life and seeks to find a reason for these problems and assign meaning to the things that bother him so greatly. Came to the conclusion in the 5th chapter and the 7th verse of this book that man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, or unto problems. Life is filled with problems. It's a simple book to outline. The first two chapters talk about the disasters of Job, all those things that happened to him. Then chapters 3 through 41 talk about the debates of Job. And chapter 42, the final chapter, the deliverance of Job. You know, this book really was confusing to me as a young Christian. I started reading through the Bible the year I got saved. I got to the book of Job, and there was a whole lot of things I didn't understand about it. There were a lot of things that bothered me about it. Of course, I wouldn't say out loud they bothered me. But to have God carrying on a conversation with Satan and literally turn Job over to Satan, and to see that Job was a good man, a sincere man, and yet suffered through all these problems. I read this book for almost 25 years, not really fully understanding the meaning of the book and the purpose for which God has given it to us. I didn't see it as magnificent as Alfred Lloyd Tennyson saw it. I didn't see it as powerful as Martin Luther saw it. But I was studying this book on October 21st, 1982. And God gave me that night the key that unlocks the secret to this powerful book. It's a book about a journey. A journey from fear to faith. And that's what I've entitled the message this morning, From Fear to Faith. Job, you know the problems he had. He debates with his friends. To give you a setting, if you look at the dating methods that we use most commonly today, Job was about 60 years old when all this started. And the time of his suffering was about 7 months long. And during that 7 months, there was constant debates about why these things were happening to him. And quite frankly, for years when I read this book, I kept thinking, why are these things happening to Job? Is it fair? And when I saw the truth of this book, I got so excited about it because it's unbelievable. The word Job, the name, means where is the Father? Where is my heavenly Father? He was certainly named appropriately before these problems ever came to his life. The scripture says in verse 1 of chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, or mature, and upright, and that means sincere, a mature, sincere man, and one that feared God and eschewed evil, or tried to stay away from evil. That sounds like a great guy to me. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, a very great household, so that this man was the greatest or the richest of the men in the East. Literally, at that time, probably the wealthiest man in the world. And as you know, God said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth." And Satan said to God, "Sure, well, look what you've given him. Look how you've taken care of him. Certainly he worships you. Certainly he follows you." But after these first 3 chapters, in the 3rd chapter, Job speaks for the first time since all these problems befell him. And look at what he says, chapter 3, verse 1. "After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day," or literally cursed his birthday. "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it." You ever come to the point in your life where you say, "Boy, I wish I had not been born. Life is just too hard. It's too difficult. There are too many problems. There are too many burdens." That's what Job said. But then as he closed his first speech, he gives us the 2 verses that I believe unlock the secret to the truth found in the book of Job. Chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Look at those verses for just a moment. Remember, this is Job speaking. "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that of which I was afraid has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, and trouble came." Listen to that speech. You're going to find out something really important about what's happening in Job's life. This 60-year-old man who's the richest man in the East, who's got 7 wonderful children. He reveals a secret. He said, "I'm a man of fear. I'm overwhelmed by fears. I knew that all this was going to happen. I knew life was going too well for me. I knew that I had too much." Fear is an interesting topic in the Bible. It's mentioned over 525 times. If you take the 9 emotional states of men that are ascribed to men by psychologists and you search through a good commentary, you can find that 8 of them are ascribed to God. But there's 1 emotional state God does not have. That's fear. He's not afraid of anything. And constantly in his word, he's telling us, "Fear not." But Job was overwhelmed with his fears. And a faithful God who loved him said, "I would like to bless him even more, but the more I give him, the more he fears. So now I'm going to allow some circumstances in his life to teach him to live in faith and not to fear these tragedies of life. And once he's learned that lesson, I'm going to double everything I've given him." You may be going through some very difficult times today. You ever ask why? Maybe God is preparing you for a much greater blessing. That's the case here in the book of Job, though Job did not know that. Job's wife didn't know that. Job's friends didn't know that. Even Satan didn't know that. One of the things that's a little bit comical about this book to me is the fact that God literally led Satan in to delivering Job, though Satan didn't know he was delivering Job. I think God has a sense of humor. And in this case, he literally used Satan to deliver Job from his fears. I want you to see his fears realized. What is he afraid of? Chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "It was so the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." First of his fears. Fears as a parent. I've got these seven children. I don't know what they're doing every day. I don't know where they are. And we have a birthday party for people in the family. And after one of these great parties, he's praying and he's constantly praying. And this word continually, literally in the Hebrew, means fretfully. He's worrying about his children. I may lose my children. A lot of you don't understand that yet, but someday you will understand it. Someday as you watch a child born into your family and then they begin to grow, you'll start thinking about that child's future. Whether they'll know the Lord or not. Whether they'll find God's will or not. Whether they'll follow God. What kind of life will they have? Will they choose the right mate? Job's afraid he's going to lose his children. And guess what? In order for him to become a man of faith, he had to lose his children. You see, the Puritans used to say, if you don't defeat your fears, they will defeat you. I just wonder how many fears there are in this auditorium this morning. How many things overwhelm you in your spirit and make you afraid of life and what might happen in life. Fears as a parent. The fears for his prosperity. Tradition tells us that Job put double servants on these big herds. He's got more herds than anybody else. The fourth chapter, the 18th and 19th verse, he's reasoning with these men and he said, you know, God can't even trust his servants. I can't even trust my servants. Why would you put double herdsmen on your 7,000 camels? I don't want anybody to steal them. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my wealth. I had a very close friend one time who had a financial statement years ago when $1 million was a lot of money. Financial statement of $156 million. And as he got older, he kept saying to me, Bob, I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. I spent my whole life earning this money. I spent my whole life getting this position. You know what? He died a poor man with no money. His fears defeated him. He never overcame those fears of losing his prosperity. Job had those same fears. His fears physically. Look at chapter 2. Verse 4 and verse 7, Satan comes back the second time, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee thy face. He had fears physically. He's afraid he's going to get sick. My word, look at what kind of world we live in today. People, you can't hardly drive up and down the road for people jogging. Wouldn't it be a shame to spend all your life out there just running up and down the streets so you can be strong and healthy and then a car runs over you one day? And all that energy is wasted. I believe that verse that says bodily exercise profiteth little. You can look at me and tell that. But you know what? Every man has a fear for his health. What's going to happen to me? I don't feel good. I've got this pain in this place, or I can't see as well as I used to. And Satan said, now, God, you just let him lose his health and he'll curse you. And so what happened? God allowed Satan to touch him in the area of his health. And he became extremely ill. But he didn't curse God. You see, he's a sincere man. He's an upright man. He loves God. But even sincere people sometimes have problems of faith. Job is a sincere, upright man, but he has problems with his faith because he's overcome by fears. He didn't realize that all of his problems and pressures were either allowed by God or arranged by God, a sovereign God that loves us. He hadn't read Romans 8:28 yet, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. But all of these things that are happening to Job are working together for Job's good. I can't believe that I read this book for so many years not understanding that, because it's so clear to me now. And this book also shows us some faulty reasoning. If you look at chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and his house and about all that he has on every side, and blessed his work of his hands, and his substance is increased? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he'll curse thee to thy face." Here is the reasoning of Satan. Faulty reasoning. Worship God for wealth and health. You ever hear that today? You ever hear that from any TV preachers today? Worship God for what you can get out of it. You give to me and God will give to you. We don't worship God for health and wealth. We worship God because of who He is. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. He is our eternal Father. Well, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Look at that with me. Job's wife's got to get into the act. I really don't like her very much. She's kind of a nagging woman. Here's what she says to Job. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." What? "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did Job sin not with his lips?" His wife said, "Look, the loss of things means the loss of life. You've lost all your money, your children are dead, you're sick. Just curse God and die. Commit suicide. Get out of the world." Isn't it strange that all this is happening to Job so that God can give him twice what he had before and he can enjoy it? And yet Job's wife is suggesting suicide. I think there are probably a number of Christians that have had this thought cross their mind. When God was allowing or arranging something in their lives so that he could bless them in a greater measure at a later date. Well, Job's friends, if you read what they said about him, particularly chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, they said, "All suffering comes from sin." Who's been a good guy like you've been a good guy and suffered like this? There are people today in religious circles that teach that all suffering comes from a sin that you've committed. That's not true. In one sense, suffering did come about because of sin. But all suffering we see in the lives of people is not necessarily because of sins they're committing. It may be from lessons they need to learn. And was it a sin for Job not to have more faith in God? Yes, I'm afraid it was. But it wasn't because of some great sin in his life. It was because God wanted to bless him. Now, if you go to chapter 42, you've got 7 months of these friends of Job saying, "You did something in the secret. There's some kind of sin in your life. We've got to straighten you out." Though these men said a lot of things that were true, they were not correct in application to Job. I've often prayed that I don't end up with friends like Job had. Doubting your integrity. Doubting your motives, your purposes. But in chapter 42, after God expresses to Job, where were you when I built the heavens and put the stars in space? Where were you when I made the bounds for the ocean? Where were you when I made the great fish of the sea? And all of a sudden it dawns on Job, God's different from me. Now notice in all of this, God did not tell Job why these things were happening to him. He just gave Job a proper view of himself. The only way you're going to overcome your fears, my young friends, is to have a proper view of God. And when you have a proper view of God and you understand the love of God, then you can control the fears that overwhelm so many people in this world, so many Christians in this world. Here's what Job says, chapter 42, verse 1 through 3. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Well, that's a great conclusion. Yes, God, you've just told me how you created the universe and how you spoke it all into existence. You've done things I can't do. And I know there's nothing you can't do. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. In other words, I know, God, that you know what I'm thinking. And I'm changing my thinking right now. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. When Job stopped thinking and talking about his problems and focused on his God, all the fear left him. All the problems went away. It's wonderful. He knew of God's strength. I know that you can do everything. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretcheth out the arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There's a lot of things too hard for us. There's a lot of things virtually impossible for us to overcome by ourselves. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing, too hard for God. That's wonderful information. That's a great truth. That's a truth that needs application in my heart and in your heart. He needs God searching. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than could ever be numbered. Job also knew his own shortcomings. He said, you know, I have uttered that which I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job is saying, I've spent this last 7 months talking about things I don't know anything about. But there is something I do know that I realize now. I do know God, and I know He created me. And I know for some reason or other, God is allowing these things to happen to me, and I'm going to take confidence in God. And when Job came to that conclusion, God turned his captivity and freed him. And then God said to Job, now go preach to your three friends. Go teach them this lesson. Will you learn this lesson this morning? As the friends of Job learned it? Will you realize God's strength? God's knowledge? Will you realize how badly you really need God and have a relationship with God? Well, the final rewards. This is wonderful to think about this. Look at chapter 42 just a moment. Chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The Lord also gave Job twice as much as he had before. Look at verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Why didn't he have 14 sons and 6 daughters? Last half his life. Because God is just saying to him, you know, these children you were worried about losing, you were worried about them walking away from me, they're home in heaven with me. You've already got 7 kids at home with me. But I'm going to give you 7 more to raise again and raise them right like you did the first 7. This is wonderful. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called them by name. And then it goes down to say in verse 15, in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brethren. Now listen to this. This is important. Verse 16, after this lived Job 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even to 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Now, you can live 60 years worried about your health, worried about your prosperity, worried about people in your family or your children. But would you suffer through 7 months in order to have 140 years of double blessing? Because you've learned the lesson of faith. In this book, this man Job moved from a state of fear to a state of faith. And he enjoyed it for 140 years. I don't know what your problems are, but I know you have them. I know what mine are. And each time they come to me, I go back and I read this book again. I say, Lord, what are you preparing for me? What is it you need to get out of my life? Is it fear you need to get rid of? What is it that I need to change to receive your blessings? This is truly one of the most powerful books in the Bible. And it's a book about real people and real problems. And a real sovereign God that solved those problems because He loves His people. Your life is going to be filled with fears unless you have a wonderful relationship with God that created you and loves you. That's the only thing that will overcome the normal fears of man in life.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.